This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do. I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because that's why my guys in my car club call me the cruiser.
You should call them the dork.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
All right, I'll jump right in. I don't know if I'm going to speak English, but we are here. It is Wednesday. Happy Thanksgiving. A little early to everyone since we'll be off tomorrow. I've actually I decided to let everyone have a day off. You know, it is Thanksgiving. Normally, I don't. Usually, we work on Thanksgiving, but I figured this year, you know, I figured this year with the economy and everything, people should spend as much time at home as they can. So I'll give them this day. But welcome, everybody, to PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. We're still getting ready for the Steelers game. It should be a really good game, I think. The pundits, and I'm not talking about just locally, but nationally, people are saying that they're looking forward to this game being one of the highlights of the weekend. 4:15 start here at Gillette Stadium. So, you know, we'll see. Again, I think like last week and I think like the week before, it comes down to the quarterbacks. I really do. You know, who's going to be playing better? Is it going to be Ben Roethlisberger or is it going to be Matt Castle? Because, you know, I think the Steelers' defense is legit, and I think that the question will be, can Castle, you know, can continue his progress in making decisions, you know, under pressure? And then on the other hand, can the Patriots, you know, get to Ben Roethlisberger and make him get rid of the ball quickly and kind of eliminate what he does so well, which is, you know, buying time with his size and able to avoid the rush and make plays, you know, out of the pocket. So we'll see. We'll see.
Fred, don't you think a lot of people
are
using this as a measuring stick for, it's a great story what the Patriots are doing, but how realistic is it
to
think they can be a postseason competitor?
I think it's fair because you've lost to the Jets now that they're playing better.
And everybody said there was a power change
right.
in the AFC.
You've lost to the Chargers when they were still a contender. You know, you lost to Indy, you know, as they started to be back on the rise. And that's a team that, you know, could conceivably be one that you'd meet in the playoffs. So, yes, it's perfectly legitimate to say this is a measuring stick for the Patriots, more so than the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, because I think people assume the Steelers are what they are. They play defense.
Right.
Roethlisberger's been there. They're going to be in the postseason. They have a chance.
Trying to figure out who the Patriots are.
Right. And who Matt Castle is. Is
right.
he legitimately a 300-yard type passer who can put this team on his back and carry it like Tom Brady has done at times.
So I think, you know, anyone that jumps down the throat of somebody says that this is a measuring stick, you know, what does Castle need to do to keep proving? It's not so much if Castle has a bad game where the Patriots lose it, oh, all of a sudden everything that Castle's done is down the toilet and that he's a bad quarterback. But we're talking about the team as a whole. You know, are the Patriots legitimate contenders to do damage in the playoffs?
And him too. I mean, because all young quarterbacks go through a growth period where they have
yes,
downs.
But I'm just
he's
saying,
yet to have a down.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I'm saying if he has a bad game, you don't write him off.
Right.
You don't write him off.
But if he continues to succeed, you go, wow.
I think it's a big yes. Yes. But I think it's a bigger question. If the Patriots don't play well, if they get blown out, you know, it's legitimate to say, you know, don't get your hopes up for anything in the playoffs.
And you don't want them to blow the Steelers out.
Of course I do.
I thought on the TV show you said you don't want to see him win 55-10.
Now,
I'd rather see them win 20-10 than 50-30 is what I was saying.
Yeah, and he misspoke and said 50-10.
You know,
so. And I was like,
Before we continue on, because I think this is a good topic here, this measuring stick stuff, but just to update everybody that might not be aware, the Patriots announced officially, Fred, that Matt Light will not be suspended. ESPN is reporting that he and Crowder were fined $15,000, but neither will be suspended for the game, so that's good news for the Patriots heading into the Pittsburgh game.
I think that's fair.
That's what we all expected.
Based on the consistency of the league, it's the right call. I think it's wrong that he should have been suspended.
Right. Now, if it was Vince Wilfork, maybe he should get suspended because of past transgressions.
Yeah.
But Matt Light doesn't get in trouble. He's a good boy.
No, I know. I'm just saying, in the physical act, I think it deserved a suspension, just like I thought.
I thought the Jacksonville guy should have gotten suspended for
the
Cincinnati.
And they didn't suspend him, so if they didn't suspend him, then I don't think they should have suspended Light. I think those two had to go together. He didn't get the suspension a couple weeks ago. Light shouldn't get it now.
So that's one bit of news.
And
good
he
news
met with the media, by the way.
Yeah,
I respect that.
Yeah, Matt Light did?
Yeah, it was a short one, but he had a large media contingent around him.
And sort of referenced, didn't get into the Miami thing a whole lot, just, I don't even know if he used the phrase not real proud, but he kind of said he wasn't happy with the way he handled himself. Obviously, that's not what you want to do out there.
Right.
And then said, but that's in the past, let's move on. And then I laughed when he ended it. He said, good talk. You guys are great. See ya.
He says that all the time. I love that.
But he does it when it's in the midst of, like, people still have questions.
It's one of those that it gets me every single time. You know, like when they play the I Have No Formal Artistic Training and the little piano keys tinkle in the background? Makes me laugh every time.
Very funny.
Hey, Minnie Gary, would you do me a favor and go to the soda machine and get me a Diet Pepsi or whatever they have there? You want something, Andy?
I have a water. I'm good.
You have a water? Okay.
I'm sorry, Fred. We probably should have got
Well, that's warm.
Yeah, I'll drink that later.
Yeah. How much are they?
You're going to need two.
Really? Is it more than a dollar in the machine?
Yeah, I'm
assuming
it's $1.25.
It's at least $1.25, yeah.
Okay. All right.
So good news.
Good news.
Good news. And I think in particular against this opponent, as we talked about yesterday, you need to have your starting tackles present and accounted for.
Okay. Any other news today? Belichick press conference?
No, obviously a lot of Pittsburgh talk, as is the normal rite of passage on a Wednesday. Bill talking about the similarities of Pittsburgh's, their consistency over the years. Dick LeBeau's defense hasn't changed since way back to his days in Cleveland. Bill's days in Cleveland, he said he even went back to some old scouting reports and checked that out. And it's amazing. The names all change. The linebackers were Greg Lloyd and Kevin Green and Jason Gildon, and now they're James Harrison and Lamar Woodley and James Farrier, but the system is all the same.
And he said basically both sides of the ball, the system is the same.
Yeah.
He said that's why that was his fattest folder going back that he has for teams.
What's Brady, or since the Brady era, what's the Patriots' record against the Steelers?
It's outstanding, but
it's good.
I can only was it one?
It's 1-3 for Roethlisberger.
I think they're 4-1, maybe. Let me
4-1. The one loss was that terrible loss in Pittsburgh.
Halloween in 2004.
Because Cordell they beat once, so that's at least 4-1.
And this is under Belichick you're looking for, right?
Well,
it's at least 4-1, but I think it might be better than that.
I was thinking Brady the quarterback, not necessarily just Belichick.
Well, I think that's the same, but I'll check it out just to make sure.
Well, I don't want to go for 2000. Because they may not have played.
They didn't play in 2000.
Right.
That's why I said I think it's the same. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-1.
5-1. Now, that one loss, I remember they were all over Brady. I mean, the pressure, he could barely get a pass off.
And they were all over the Patriots. They came to play that day.
Yeah.
They won from, like, the get-go.
Right.
They were more physical. They got the breaks. Guys got hurt. Matt Light broke his leg in that game, right?
No. Different game. They won that game.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
leap away from my player.
That was early in the 05 season, I believe.
But that
colonoscopy, sorry.
Other than that one loss, you know, it's always been Dick LeBeau's defense. How have the Patriots overcome the Pittsburgh pressure in the other four wins?
Well, they really
What were the keys to victory?
For the most part, you're talking about how they responded from that loss on Halloween of 04. 2 months later, 2.5 months later in the AFC Championship game, same team. And the Patriots put 41 on the board. And I thought that they really did a great job that day of taking advantage of Troy Polamalu's aggressiveness. I thought they used that against him. They enticed him to the line and went over the top a couple of times. I think what you need to do against Pittsburgh, Fred, is really protect well, and you need to take some shots. They have allowed this season one pass of 40 or more yards, and that was a cheap deflection by Peyton Manning to Reggie Wayne in that game for the Colts. It was like a 66-yard
touchdown. And that is amazing,
considering
their aggressiveness.
Yeah,
it
and
really
considering
is.
That they don't have great corners. If you can be aggressive if you
have
Champ
Deion
Bailey
Sanders
and Ty Law.
Yeah.
Right.
But to have Ike Taylor and
DeShay Townsend
and William Gay and some of the guys they put out there.
Mouse McFadden. I call him Mouse.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty impressive. But they are still susceptible. I know the numbers don't say it. I think you can beat them down the field.
I think you can throw the ball. You can throw the ball on this team.
Well, if you protect.
If you protect.
If you don't
protect. It's all about the protection.
Good night, sweetheart. It's time to go home.
Let's take a team that the Patriots were pretty evenly matched with, Indianapolis.
Okay.
How did the Colts beat Pittsburgh?
I thought they were very fortunate. I think Roethlisberger threw three interceptions, and two of them in particular. One of them was a throwaway interception, but he threw one late in the first half that I thought completely changed the tenor of the game. I think I want to say Pittsburgh was up 17-7 at the time, had the ball. Worst that was going to happen is you go in up 10, threw an interception deep in his own territory. Manning, as he often does, makes you pay late in the half, just before halftime, 17-14. Big turning point. Pittsburgh regained control in the second half and appeared they had, again, had the ball with the lead in the fourth quarter. And again, he threw an interception to set up a short field. And again, Manning took advantage of it. And I think it's one of those games. I think if you looked at the stats and the better team and you didn't look at the scoreboard, you would assume Pittsburgh won that game.
What was there anything in particular that was forcing Roethlisberger into those interceptions, or were they just bonehead plays?
I can tell you the one at the end of the first half was just a bonehead play, but I can't specifically recall all the other ones. I couldn't tell you it was style of play that Indy used. I don't know if the cover two. You know, look, Pittsburgh is not running the football the way they have in the past, and I think that's affecting them, no doubt. But it was a three-game stretch against the Giants, the Colts, and someone else that Roethlisberger threw, what, seven interceptions, eight interceptions
oh, yeah.
in three
like
games.
Well, was Arizona or no?
I forget who the other one. They won one of the games.
Yeah, it was.
They won one of the games that he played badly in. But
yeah.
He threw eight interceptions in a three-game span. You know, you can't take that out.
Right.
But the other eight games, he's been really, really consistent. He just had a horrid three-game stretch.
You know, he's battled injuries all season.
He's been getting killed all year.
Yeah.
He started the season basically with a shoulder injury that hasn't gone away.
Right.
So if the Patriots can get some heat on
him. Giants, Redskins, Colts.
Redskins. He only played the half.
4-1 and three.
Yes.
Yep. So if you were the Steelers going up against the Patriots, what's your game plan? What are you afraid of? Or do you just do what you do?
I do what I do, and that's get to the quarterback. Because I think if you get to Matt Castle, you're gonna win the game. I think it's that simple. And that's
right.
What they do. That's what they've done for 15 years. If you can't, if James Harrison lays an egg again,
right.
Like he did last year here, I thought he laid an egg.
Right.
He's on the Andy Hart team of you see him in person and he doesn't show up. But now, as we've said ad nauseum, Lamar Woodley is a big part of this now. They have two guys, and that makes that significantly harder when you have two 12-sack type
guys. There's no chess game here. Patriots know that they're going to try to really send the heat against Castle, and so they're just going to have to get the ball out of Castle's hands as quick as possible on every play.
Now, it will be interesting to see what they do with Polamalu. If they are, he's an aggressive guy. He wants to be at the line of scrimmage making plays. Are they going to do that and risk plays down the field to Randy Moss, or are they going to go to a more of a two deep approach or have mm-hmm. some different things in the backfield where he's not as? I don't think he's as valuable when he's 20 yards downfield. His value to me is at or near the line of scrimmage, making plays, picking off passes in the garbage, all that.
Hines Ward's having a great season or a good season, but he's also getting a lot of flack for...
Because he kills people.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
you know,
kills them.
Kind of blindsiding people, downfield blocking. I mean, he's really a headhunter. He's as a wide receiver, he's as much a headhunter as you could probably ask for. And
yes.
He takes pride in it.
And I think if he played for the New England Patriots, he would be the most popular Patriot on the field. I think he's a Rodney Harrison type in terms of that, where he kind of pushes the envelope. But I also think he's a Troy Brown type in that when you need a play, he's just a tough football player that gets you a play. I think he would be a fan favorite if he played for the Patriots.
Any problem with Mawelde Moore having a big game? Do you think, you know, shutting down the run is probably, you know, in the bag? The Patriots will be able to do that?
Well, I don't know about in the bag, but I'd be stunned if they run the ball with any success. Because I think this front has shown they're pretty good. I think you're better suited to stop Mawelde Moore when you have a guy like Mayo on the field, because I think Moore is a threat out of the backfield. He's a shifty, as Bill said, kind of a Kevin Falk guy. You're obviously better suited to have Gerard Mayo chasing him around. I'll be stunned if this game is won or lost. For, you know, I just don't think they're going to make a lot of plays with those running backs.
Okay, so
they also have injuries in the secondary, by the way. The guys we talked about that aren't very good may not even play.
Right.
One of them's got a broken forearm and is questionable, and the other one, I forgot what the other one has.
Taylor and McFadden did not play against Cincinnati.
Right, and one has a broken forearm, so he could play, but even if he plays, he's going to be affected.
All right, so we'll get into that more. Of course, today we have to do our picks.
I do think, by the way, just to couple on your thought there, Freddie, on the running game with Mawelde Moore, I think that Andy's right in that. I don't expect Pittsburgh to rack up a lot of yards on the ground, but I do think Moore's style might be more conducive to giving the Patriots problems than Parker's. Even though Parker is fast, I think that they have dealt with that lead back type where it's the kind of third down backs that can do a bunch of different things and be used in a variety of roles, occasionally give the Patriots trouble. But I'm with Andy here. The way the Patriots front is played, I don't really expect either one of them to rack up anywhere near 100 yards.
Yeah, this game looks a little too simple on paper, if you ask me, which means we'll probably be wrong and say, I never saw X, Y, and Z coming, because it looks like the Steelers don't really have the dogs to run the ball right now. The Patriots stopped the run. Roethlisberger has been throwing it 35, 40 times a game. The Patriots can't stop the pass. So in terms of that matchup all right there, you think you know what's going to happen. And then you pretty much say if they can protect Castle, they're going to be able to throw the ball on this defense that's, not that good. Moss is making plays. Welker's, it all feels like it's coming together almost too obviously, and we're probably going to be missing something.
And that's kind of the way the games have gone. A lot of times recently we've had games where we're predicting the final score or the final spread very accurately, but how it gets there has really nothing to do with what we really thought going in. So this might be another one of those games. We think it's going to go this way, and it doesn't really. You know, maybe Pittsburgh ends up running the ball effectively, and maybe the Patriots don't have any problems picking up the pressure, but they still the Steelers cover them up, and they can't move the ball.
We should add, I know you like these little tastes of flavors from the locker room, as Eric might call them. Bill Belichick, very light locker room after his press conference, stopped with Kevin Falk and Randy Moss, and they laughing and pointing and gesturing.
For a while, a good 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Then he walks down the other end, and he stops with Pierre Woods and Gerard Mayo and has a similar kind of laughing and pointing.
Well, I passed him in the hallway. He was on his way to, I think, shoot something at Kraft Sports Production. He actually said hello.
And it wasn't you?
No. He actually said hello, Fred. So right there, I mean.
I told you, PFW has no beefs in 2008 with Bill Belichick. None whatsoever.
No.
He's been extremely cordial
PFW
to us
and friends
and helpful in every way possible, including this week.
Yep.
You should get your newsstand on newsstands now, your current copy of Patriots Football Weekly, Coach Speak, Bill Belichick. Nice sit down with Eric Scalavino. Some good stuff in there.
And a great cover. Well, there's no one's mentioning that. No one's.
I don't mind the cover as much as Paul does.
Paul, you don't like the
cover? I just don't get it.
It was better than your three other ones that were bad.
Okay. Well, anyway. All right, so webradio at patriots.com is the email address. The other thing we want to talk about today, the speculation continues about the future of Matt Castle and Tom Brady. I thought Mike Reese had a very factual kind of, you know, bare-bones approach to it today. I think that, you know, he laid it out pretty well. You know, he mentioned, you know, he contradicted what Peter King wrote a couple weeks ago about, you know, you can't franchise a player and for the purpose of trading him. And he mentioned four guys that's specifically what they did do, including to Bucky Jones and this team. So that is an option. The problem is, you know, until the time that you trade him, you're still holding on to that that cap space. And between Brady and he, if they did franchise, it'd be almost $30 million between two players.
But we do need to clear up. We listened to the Big Show on the way back from TV yesterday, and their whole rant was, who are you going to cut? You're going to Vince Wilfork, you're going to let go? Richard Seymour, you're going to let go? First of all, every offseason, you generally head in with some amount of cap space. I don't know what theirs is projected to be right now. I don't know if anyone has written that or has any idea. But there's a good chance it's say, $6 million or $8 million. I mean, at times it's been upwards of, what, Paul, 20-something million dollars. So at times it's been far more than the franchise number.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
But with some maneuvering, if that's the route you choose to take, I don't think it would be quite as dramatic as cutting Vince Wilfork and doing all these things. And you only have to have that space available for the period of time under which your plan unfolds to trade him and deal with it. So February, what is it, 19th? February 19th, you franchise him. You're already possibly before then working the phones. You got a couple teams in mind. You've cleared the cap space. He's on the books for $14 million. He could be off the books, theoretically, by the time you're starting to sign free agents on March 1st or right thereafter.
One of the things, though, about this is all the books, as you call them, you know, the Patriots' financial situation is open to every other team.
Right.
Each team knows every other team's financial situation as it relates to the cap. So as another team, you could use that as leverage. You could string the Patriots out and say, I don't know if I want to make the trade.
But that's why I said I think we've talked about having discussions beforehand, people you trust, teams that you have a working relationship with. Yes, there's certainly risk involved because there's risk that something falls through and you have him on the cap. But I don't think it's quite the risk of, well, you either have to decide to franchise Castle or bye-bye Vince Wilfork. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's an Andy Hart argument right there we're setting up.
That is an Andy Hart argument.
It's ridiculous.
There's no way it's going to be the difference between letting go one of the players that you need to have. You know, if they let go of a player, it's going to be someone that they deemed expendable either way.
In my opinion, the only person they let go to keep Castle would be Tom Brady, and that ain't happening.
Well, that's another argument, and we don't need to get to that now. But Andy's right about the suddenly the sky is falling. I don't think they're going to do it because I don't think it really makes much financial sense. But I don't think they won't do it because of fear of losing Vince Wilfork or Richard Seymour or any other frontline starter that they don't want to lose. Now, maybe you could say it might prohibit them from being able to renegotiate an extension for a guy like Wilfork immediately, but you also could renegotiate an extension and actually save money because we know how sometimes those work that first year.
Sure.
The cap number actually goes down
right.
Or at times.
Or say you do want to do an extension with Vince Wilfork and you need cap room. Say you're doing a front-loaded thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how, you know, there's a million ways to do these things.
Backloaded. Yeah.
Maybe it works out in both scenarios. You open up the cap room, allows you to keep Matt Castle for that franchise period of a couple weeks. Then once that room opens, boom, that room gets rolled over and Vince Wilfork is announced as having signed a X-year extension with a $10 million roster bonus in the first season so that his cap numbers are more manageable moving forward and you make use of that $14 million on two separate occasions. There's a lot of things that can be
right.
done with numbers and accounting and all these transactions. And
one
to
thing
just
you
paint
have,
it as, yeah. Wilfork's gone if you keep Castle.
Well, one thing you have to remember,
irresponsible.
Nobody,
irresponsible.
You can't have a contract renegotiated twice within one calendar year. So
right.
you can't do it once and then do it again.
No, but my point is that wouldn't be
no, I know.
Relevant.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's not relevant for Castle because
right.
that's not a renegotiation.
No.
Or Wilfork.
Or Wilfork.
Under my little scenario where
right.
you use the $14 million and make $8 million of it a roster bonus that is only on that year's cap, and then you don't have to ever have to have it on the books moving forward.
Right.
I'm just saying there's a million ways to do these things, and if they choose to, they can franchise Matt Castle and get it done.
Yeah, and that's why I'm quick to say, I'm not saying they won't do this. I'm just saying I don't think they will. It's just opinion.
Right.
I just don't think it makes a lot of sense to
do
it.
I don't either.
Now, the one thing, I don't really think there's much of a fear, Fred, for your scenario of, you know, a team might look at that and say, well, I don't think we want to make the trade right now. If a team wants to trade for Matt Castle, it's in the team's best
right.
interest to do so as quickly as possible to get him into your team, into your system, and integrate all of that, especially for a quarterback. It wouldn't make much sense to wait and wait and wait to try to hold the Patriots hostage, and then all you end up doing is getting a quarterback much later into your system than you want to. So I don't think there's much fear of that, but I do think there's a slight fear of teams not necessarily wanting to give up a big money contract and significant compensation. I think this, you know, I think there's some argument that, well, I think this Castle guy might have something. I think I might be willing to give him 5 years and $35 million or something like that. But I don't know if I want to give up a first and a third and 5 years and $35
million. Yep.
You know, so there is a little bit of risk that I don't think anybody is really taking into consideration.
And the agent, Castle's agent, might look at that and say, you know,
you're restricting.
We'll make more money as an unrestricted free agent than as a franchise player.
Sure, and then that gets into the whole Peter King thing. Does Castle then get a bent out of shape because I know you want to trade me?
Right.
That's wrong, and now you're restricting my ability on the free market because you have no intentions of keeping me. Yet I can't sign anywhere I want. I don't think that's going to happen again because Castle's in the catbird seat.
Plus, it's
Castle
never
is going to cash in, no matter what, and I think that's all he cares about.
See, I actually think it's the other. I think the only thing that he'll really care about is ending up in a good place.
But that's what I'm saying. Playing.
I think the money is almost irrelevant.
He wants to play somewhere.
He wants to
that's
have
why
the job
he's in the
catbird. He's never had that opportunity.
Yeah,
he's going to get paid whether he makes $8 million, $7 million, $12 million.
Right.
He's making a lot more millions than he thought. I mean. Let's look back now. Last August, with all the talk, I'm sure it seeped into his mind on some level, my career is petering away here. I'm going to be a free agent. I'll have never played. Yeah, I'll get another chance somewhere else, but it's going to be on a veteran minimum type deal, and I'm going to face the same challenge I've always faced. I have to prove myself and hope I get an opportunity. 2.5 months later, whoa, it's all changed. I'm getting millions, and I'm going to get to start.
Right.
So life's pretty good for Matt Castle.
It really is.
But the bigger problem I brought up to you guys with this whole trade Brady or sign Castle and can we keep him around for a year or two and make him the starter moving? When did the future become more important than the present? When was it about, well, this guy's going to be my head coach. I've signed him in 2 years.
That's a phenomenon.
LeBron James is going to sign with the New York Knicks in 2 years, and they're opening up all this cap space. When did the future surpass the present in terms of importance?
To me, that's a phenomenon that's almost exclusive to the NFL.
It's
draft
ridiculous.
Picks. Did you ever see anybody covered a draft pick the way fans do in the NFL? Seriously.
I think one of the reasons why they do is because it's easier to track these guys. It's more manageable. In baseball, who the hell knows draft picks in baseball? Even hockey, these kids aren't even going to college. You don't know.
To me, it's not even about – you don't know who they're going to get, and no one knows enough about football.
But you know a little bit more about them.
They just think that there's hope in the future with these draft picks that is kind of abnormal to me.
Well,
guys traded that start 16 games, have 90 tackles as a linebacker, and they get traded for a fifth-round pick, and people are like, wow. Fifth round pick for him, and in most sports, a guy who is a starter and is productive to that level, he's more valuable than the unknown of some guy you're going to take on the second day of the draft that might be a special teamer.
The grass seems always greener,
greener.
And you're right; it's crazy. It's kind of a reflection of our society.
I don't understand it. I find it, and I know Bill has always said you need to plan both short term and long term, and I think you can do that responsibly. But the cart got before the horse here at some point where it's more.
Yeah.
I mean, most of these people that are making these decisions aren't going to be around to enjoy the decision they think they're prepping for.
We should also mention that Matt Castle was selected as the AFC Player of the Week. Is that true?
Well, there is no such thing, so I need more information.
It says Patriots quarterback Matt Castle, Ravens safety Ed Reed, and Raiders punt returner Johnny Lee Higgins named AFC Players of the Week.
So he's the Offensive Player of the Week.
Right.
He is also nominated for the FedEx Air Player of the Week and probably a few other things.
So,
that's good.
That's great.
That's his second time this year.
That is unbelievable.
And this one he earned.
You know?
Certainly. Johnny Lee Higgins. I remember that name from the Combine.
Good stuff on the phone.
You haven't seen any of the
returns? I've seen a little bit
of
it, but
oh man,
my memory will be him just saying, I'm easily the fastest guy on the planet.
And, you know, unlike Teddy Ginn, he looks fast on the field. He's not just fast, Andy.
Plays fast.
On the phone right now is Chris with the TIAN. Chris, how you doing?
Okay, guys. What's up?
What's up, Chris?
Nothing much. I just want to know what you guys are talking about. I caught yesterday's show. I actually downloaded it, listened to it last night. I've been in the hospital all week. My father has been kind of sick, so.
Oh.
I haven't
Sorry
been able to listen
that.
Live, unfortunately, so I don't know if you guys try to email or anything, but I haven't been in the office. He's doing a, they're doing a biopsy today on him. They found a little bit of a growth about the size of a stick of gum, so we'll wait to hear back about that. But
well, best wishes to him.
Thank you very much.
Don't let him listen to the show. We want him to get better.
Well, actually, it was funny. I had it on one time, and it started out when you go, "All right," when you came back, and my father goes, "Who the hell was that?" He was screaming. He goes, "Who the hell? What are you listening to?" I go, "Those are the guys I went to visit." I was like, he goes, "Holy Christ!" He goes, "They're loud." I says, "Yeah." I says, "Yeah." I says, "But they're good guys. They're the only guys you can listen to in town." I says, "That talk about, you know, biasly about the team." So
I told you not to let him listen. He's going to aggravate him.
So yeah, you guys are well known. But yeah, so, you know, we'll see what happens. But thank
good
you
luck with that.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
I don't know if you heard, but Matt Light did not get suspended, Christian.
I did. I actually got it across my phone. It was like a text message. So that's good. What did he get fined? $15,000?
Yeah.
Well, I kind of figured if they didn't come down with it yesterday that he wasn't going
to
get suspended.
He spends more than that in one trip to Bass Pro.
So do you.
Yeah, so he should be able to cover that. The crowd will get the same thing, 15?
Yeah.
See? Okay, well, that's good. At least we'll have him in for the Pittsburgh game. Yeah, tough game coming up. It's a pretty good defense. The only thing is that their running game really doesn't seem to be clicking. I know Pac has been hurt, and they got Moore, I think, running. So I don't know. I mean, the defense, yeah. I mean, we'll see how Castle does with the defense. Brady usually does a pretty good job of eating them up. So
yeah, well, you know, as a Patriot fan, I'm not worried about any team's running game. I'm worried about how they pass the ball because that is clearly the weakness.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, hey, even though they stopped the run Sunday, I sort of read that they allowed Pennington to throw for the three. I'm not so sure I buy into that, that they allowed him to throw for 300 yards.
They've been allowing quarterbacks to do it all year then.
They have their issues in the secondary.
Yeah, we said that from the beginning. I mean, that was
We knew that going in. It's just made worse because of the injuries.
It's played out exactly how we said. We said, can the front seven play well enough and get enough pressure on the quarterback to overcome deficiencies in the secondary? The answer is no. They don't have enough pressure. They don't have enough sacks. And as such, the secondary is getting toasted.
Now, what we didn't know was the offense was going to make up for it.
We didn't see that one coming.
Didn't see that one coming.
I mean, 48 points. You figure, you know, Miami be personal house of horrors the last two times down there, 49 and 48 points.
luckily, we got rid of that quarterback Brady who struggles down there all the time.
Yeah, that's another thing I want to talk about. I heard that yesterday. You know, let's sign Castle let's trade Brady. Are those emails serious?
Yes. Some people are.
A lot of them are serious.
It's crazy. It's crazy. They're the same people that wanted to cut Castle in training camp.
And some of them are even admitting that.
Yeah.
They're writing in. I wasn't a believer, but now you got to get rid of Brady.
Well, unless Brady really suffers a major setback, which obviously that's the great unknown.
Maybe we should keep Castle just and have him play in Miami.
Designated Miami
for the
quarterback.
The purpose of playing in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, he's gone above and beyond. I mean, I thought he was going to get cut.
I did too.
Everybody,
I thought
more than everybody did. I thought.
I thought he should have been cut.
Yeah, me too.
I thought he had plateaued in his development.
But you know, this is the definition of a game time athlete. You know,
Who knew that after 8 years of no games?
Right.
Well,
I mean,
one of the things that happened, I think, in the preseason that we didn't know and we didn't really have any way of knowing is the lack of cohesion. Both with the offensive line and with the receivers, I think probably weighed in a little bit. And Castle made a point, and I know there's a little bit of excuse making, there's an element of that to this, but you know, when you maybe have a bad series or two early in a preseason game, you don't have three more quarters to make up for it. You might have ended up with 245 yards, two touchdowns. If you had a three and out and then, you know, maybe got a first down and then didn't score, and then you're done for the night, and it looks like you were terrible, terrible.
Right.
When really, it probably wasn't all that different than what he's doing, only it looked a lot worse. Now, obviously, the last two games have been a lot better than anything he did in the summer. I'm not saying that when you throw for 400 yards like that. But I just, you know, not that I was in love with Castle, but I thought he was a little bit better than most people did in the preseason. That's all.
Well, you know, and I know we make fun of people and ourselves when we say, well, you know, he's still on the team, so they must see something that we don't. Well, that's true. You know,
sometimes,
you know, he couldn't have been as bad as some people said and still be on the team.
Right. But maybe
it must have been something.
But maybe we saw something in Chad Jackson that Bill didn't see in year two and would have cut him then.
I still go back to Rohan
and
Navy.
He waited till game three.
Rohan Navy was on his team way longer than he should have been.
Stubbornness. When you,
well, that's
when
what
you
I'm saying.
Yeah, when you draft a guy that high, you know, there is
so
a
why Rohan Davey?
Why
was he
him?
Around as long as he was and the backup quarterback?
I don't know.
Now he's a backup in the Arena League.
Some people would argue if Rohan Davey got this opportunity, he would have done the same thing. I don't think so.
God, no.
No, Castle just, he's, you know.
No.
You think back to even like
I mean,
the same
but what do we
game.
Know? I mean, yeah. We're saying no, but, you know, but I,
not much,
I just
for
can't,
sure.
I can't
I'd
imagine
I'd stake
that.
Paul's life on it that yeah. Rohan Davey
I mean,
would not
he would have done something somewhere else if that was the case.
You're old. You're fat. You time has passed.
You know. All right, Christian.
I wish him well.
Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
You
and,
too.
You too.
Week.
Tell all your dad
right,
we
thanks.
Said hello.
Yep.
I will do. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye. Fred said, and we're back.
All right, Chris with a TIAN weighing in.
Nice job, Fred.
Web radio at patriots.com. We have a lot of emails. We'll get to them right after this.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortillas. Chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
All right, welcome. We're here. It is Saturday, April 26th, and finally, draft day is here. And this, of course, is PFW in Progress's draft extravaganza.
Now, Andy Hart breaks down the NFL draft.
From Mendenhall.
One.
Mendenhall.
Two.
Mendenhall.
Three.
Right. Mendenhall.
Four.
Rashard Mendenhall available.
Five.
I'm going Rashard Mendenhall.
10.
Rashard Mendenhall.
17.
Arizona could get Mendenhall.
18.
Rashard Mendenhall.
23.
Pittsburgh, Mendenhall.
27.
Mendenhall, and I can root for the Steelers with Roethlisberger and Mendenhall.
29.
Lima Swede to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Select Rashard Mendenhall.
Sorry, but the Patriots became the second best team in the AFC right then. Mendenhall is ridiculous here.
Yeah, Eric, and you're supposed to be the gay one.
Who's on the clock?
By the way, I lost interest once Mendenhall got drafted.
Okay, we're back. Paul, you ready?
Yeah. I wasn't. I didn't know you were coming.
Caught you in a trance there. All right, so locker room, you know, good spirits.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Belichick, good spirits.
Yep.
They're off tomorrow, no access.
Don't believe they're off tomorrow, are they?
Well, I know there's no access.
There's no access, right. But I
believe Bill's official statement was, we'll get things done a little quicker and get them out of here on Thursday.
Okay. So
generally, they have a morning something quick and get them out of here.
Yeah. Okay. Other than that, it's just a normal week, I guess, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. A Sunday game. Okay, let's get to some emails. Webradio@patriots.com.
A Sunday game.
Well,
what does that mean?
Yeah, night, Mondays, Thursday. I don't know. We have all kinds of games
this
year.
Big ones on Thursday.
You know?
Not really.
Two bad ones and a mediocre one.
How glad are you that we're not playing on Thanksgiving?
I'll tell you what I'm a little concerned about, Fred.
What?
Is this talk that seems to be a little groundswell, if you will, of we got to get Detroit off of Thanksgiving because they're so bad.
Right.
Detroit needs to stay on Thanksgiving.
Let them do it.
They have the tradition. Okay, Detroit and Dallas, let there be two teams. So we don't want to have six chances to play on Thanksgiving. It's down to four. I like that. Okay? We don't need to have that change in any way. Can you do something about that?
Sure. Warren Sapp is a pretty good dancer.
Warren Sapp was excellent.
You know that?
Did he win?
No.
Oh.
Brooke Burke won. So no problem there.
She's excellent, too.
Absolutely.
Although her nipples are weird.
All right.
Look.
And how would you know that?
Rock solid.
She's been in Playboy a number of times.
Oh, has she?
And they're not symmetrical. They don't line up.
Oh, really?
They're a little off. I'm sure she has fake boobs, so. Yeah, probably.
So she doesn't quite have nipples. She has whipples.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Asymmetrical nipples.
Otherwise known as whipples.
Why are they called whipples?
I don't know. It's just a name I just gave them.
That's like your covers. I don't know. I just thought Matthew threw 415.
Okay, so anything else we have to go over before we get to emails?
Not necessarily Patriots related, Fred, but I found it interesting that
Paul's the turkey on
the possibility exists, obviously, with the Jets playing better, that the Jets and Giants both could be in the conference championship game.
No chance. Those things never work out.
I know they never work out, but it's amazing how it's never really even come close to happening that, you know.
Yeah.
First of all, the Jets could end up with number one seed.
And
if they
could
keep
both
on
have a home
well.
Game, right.
But if they both end up hosting the conference championship games, I guess the plan is for to have one on Sunday and one on Monday.
Really? Instead of Saturday and Sunday?
I agree. I think it's a terrible idea, and it should be on Saturday and Sunday.
Huh.
But obviously, they wouldn't be able to have them at the same day because there's no way you could turn that over. Even if you played one at 1 o'clock and the other at 8 o'clock, you couldn't turn that over. But just a kind of an interesting little factoid that hasn't ever, I don't think, ever even threatened to happen before.
Oh, God.
The Giants have hosted a few conference championship games, but the Jets have never, I don't think, been close to hosting one.
It's just a fun fact.
It is a fun fact.
Oh, we just cannot have the Jets.
Well, it wasn't really about the Jets and Giants as much as it was they would be at the Meadowlands and kind of the quirks that go with the scheduling. But Sunday and Monday, and then I read on Florio that, because I saw that, I think I saw that on ESPN. But on Florio today, I was reading about it. He referenced it, and he said that he thinks they should make that a permanent switch to have one conference championship game on Sunday and one on Monday because they could get them both in prime time and charge
so
more
much.
Money. And
I think that's stupid.
For advertising, I think it's ridiculously stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah.
By the way, Schefter's been on this kick for like 3 weeks now. I heard him bring it up a while ago.
Such an idiot.
I just think it's getting a little. There's things that you always say. It's
I really,
cool
I,
if this
you know,
never happens.
Even the Thursday night games, you know, from Thanksgiving on or from November on, actually, I'm not sure I like those either.
I don't really either.
You know,
again, I couldn't agree with you more. I don't watch them.
Yeah,
and I like watching neutral NFL games as much as anybody else. But it's Thursday night. I have other things to do.
Other things to do, and it's just such an unfair thing for the team.
Well, that's what
especially
I think.
The
there's
team.
A competitive
yeah.
challenge. There
I think
there.
It's a
you basically have 2 days.
That's
it's
not
a competitive
right.
advantage slash disadvantage. Right. It's definitely a disadvantage for the teams when they play, but then they get 10 days off,
right.
so they suddenly leap into almost like a pseudo bye week,
right?
And that's a benefit when you play after that. And it's definitely a big benefit for the home team.
Right.
But we all know the bottom line. It's the NFL
Money.
Network would be even less meaningless.
Sure.
I mean, less meaningful well, without those.
But
sure.
I mean, they only do one Saturday night game?
late in the year. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it only one, or did you two? What's the matter over there? Why are you?
I just wanted.
No,
also
you may not go to
are
the
you
bathroom.
Doing that thing with your hand again?
The next three Patriots opponents all play a Thursday night game the week before they face the Patriots, so each team will have 10 days off.
Wow.
Like the Patriots just did.
Good.
When they
good
played
research.
Miami.
Steelers, Dick. Seahawks, and Raiders.
You can raise your hand for something like that. That's
that was
okay.
The first valuable piece
that
of information
good.
You brought to this program.
But
ever.
That's what I'm talking about. Like the Patriots had that advantage going to Miami. They had the 10 days
yeah.
off.
And it worked.
And it worked. And same with the Jets to go to Tennessee. And now Tennessee will have that short week, and they'll go on. It's
tell
not
you
fair.
One thing. Patriots go 0 for their next three. There will be a groundswell of criticism for all their opponents having 10 days to prepare for them. This program will
very
probably have to do a full week about
make
it.
Make sure you use that nugget in the paper.
Okay. Get it in a first down,
first
Andy.
Down item.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was like a box or one of Eric's things.
Superius writes in. Who is
Eric?
Superius? Who is usually...
Eric. I think I think Andy's right.
Oh, okay. It says, listening to yesterday's PFW, I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. The talk about trading Brady or perhaps Castle is the future of the franchise or actually slapping the franchise tag on Castle makes me wonder what the hell is going on. Brady is the QB. The guy threw 50 touchdowns last year. He's won 3 Super Bowls. He's only, what, 31? He went undefeated in the regular season last year against a far tougher schedule than we have this year. Castle is a fine quarterback, but are these fans really trying to put him in the same league as Tom Brady or Peyton Manning? Come on! 5 weeks ago, these same idiots were screaming for Castle to be cut. No wonder Paul hates the fans. As for franchising him, I guess that's an option if you think you can get a team to trade you something for him. But that's a big risk. $14 million or so can buy some help for the secondary, I would think. Look, I realize that it sucks that Castle's contract is up this year and we aren't going to get anything for him, but that's the way things go. So,
and,
Paul likes that.
And by the way, you got something
email.
For him. He's a late-round pick. You've paid like $1 million probably total. And
he saved our
he's
season.
Saving your season. You could potentially go to the playoffs and beyond thanks to him.
And
you know, we
and
always wonder what would ever
more...
happen if Brady went down. Well, now we know.
You're looking for something more tangible, too. You'll probably end up with a third or fourth round draft pick.
Right.
As a compensatory pick.
More so
pick.
Than you used on him.
Right.
Let's see. Jeff is writing in. He says, for all the Brady haters, take the rosters that Brady won with, especially at receiver, and give them to Castle, and you're looking at a different outcome. He has lost every big game except Miami this year. If I remember, Brady won Super Bowl his first year. Brady is special. I am scared he is losing interest as well, but I hope all this Castle stuff kicks him in the ass. Look what Brady did with Moss, and when he comes back, he will be in his prime. He needs to get rid of Giselle.
Don't discount that factor in these people's discussion. The fact that
well,
people feel like Brady has lost interest, feel like he's going to be one
like
of those
out
guys.
Out of sight, out of mind, you know?
Well, no, I think more so before the injury, even the way his personal life and the celebrity, and also the theory that, you know, he's got a lot to offer, and he's going to be successful in any field, and he's one of those guys that's going to retire on top at 34. Well, people are, like, doing the math and saying, well, I can have 3 years of Brady, or I could have 10 years of Castle. And
right.
I mean, that's a factor here.
I know.
If you felt like Tom Brady, there was no questions asked, he was going to play for the next 8 years, if he was going to play at least 39, I don't think there would be half as many people saying trade him.
Yeah.
But I think people are worried that he could be two and done.
And people are worried. Yeah, people are also worried about Brady, about you know the fact that they don't know if his knee will come back, if he'll be the same player.
That's part of it too.
You know, if he could, you know, but you know what Brady is. You know, he is a special player. You know, you've got this guy, and you know, as far as the team goes, besides wins and losses on the field, he means a lot to the marketing of the team too. You know, having Brady on your roster, you know, that's good for the overall team.
But in theory, so would Castle. If Castle is what you think he's going
well,
to be.
I don't think Castle's ever going to be the kind of superstar that Brady is.
I don't know.
He's already married. He's, you know.
But he's a great story.
No, he's a great story.
The story would sell. There would be a lot of sales opportunities there. And the bottom line is, if he throws 40 touchdown passes 3 straight seasons, he'll be very marketable.
Right, but part of the marketing of a quarterback is beyond the
Peyton
football
Peyton Manning
fan.
Is married and a dink, and he's in every commercial I've ever seen.
That's true. That is true.
Thank you.
That's true.
I just think this is so much different than Brady Bledsoe, because Bledsoe wasn't playing well. Brady was at the top of his game. Brady's coming off the – he's the reigning NFL MVP.
And I think Castle's so much better than Bledsoe, so it's not a fair comparison.
I thought we were having a serious conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I just think anybody that's looking at Brady for anything other than off-the-field stuff, you know, concerns like Andy said that he doesn't want to play anymore. I mean, that's your opinion if that's what your opinion is. But anything that we've seen on the field tangible
– yeah.
It's not even close. It's not even worth talking about.
It's not fair to compare. He had two good games. But it's not fair to compare Matt Castle to Tom Brady year 9 or 8 or whatever.
I'd compare him to 2001. I don't even think it's close.
Oh, I do.
I
think it's close.
Wow.
This team is light years better than the team Tom Brady.
Well, that's the key.
But I'm just talking about watching him digest a defense, roll out, and throw a pass. Physically, he's made plays.
Well, I think that I watched Tom Brady throw 50-plus passes at least two different occasions that year and strap the team on his back, and it was a much worse team than the one that Matt Castle's playing with right now.
I don't even think it's close. I mean, that's the difference.
But that doesn't matter. I mean,
it matters to me.
Comparing the two quarterbacks.
It matters to me. I'm comparing the two quarterbacks, and I felt like Brady played a lot better in 2001 for the balance of the season. Now, Castle might have had two games the last 2 weeks better than any one game Brady had then, maybe. I'd be willing to submit that, but... For 11 games, I don't even think it's close.
Okay.
I'm not sold on that.
Andy has a crush, you know.
Nathan writes in.
That?
He says he has a crush on Castle.
And Andy Hart's the guy he wanted to cut.
He likes his Mike Phelps body.
I don't even know what that means. So we can just totally disregard that comment. And second of all, I just think he's played pretty well.
Is Eric coming down?
I have no idea.
He's probably out of practice right now.
Oh, okay. Is he in today?
Yes.
Okay.
He might be.
Yeah, I talked.
He got some stuff from Castle. He did a good job today.
Did he?
I can't rip him for his upcoming features he's working on, where he talks to a bunch of different players.
Yeah.
After the press conference, he got Castle to chime in on a few of them.
Nice.
Another side note: Castle did a fist pump when Stacey James told the media that Matt Light was not going to be suspended. He made a little smile and said, "Yes,
great."
Because he knows this week he'd be in trouble if he did. Cashier, by the way, is my projection for the matchup of the week: Nick Cashier and Lamar Woodley. We've already seen Matt Light take on the fraud that is James Harrison. Lamar Woodley is a new matchup, and I think Cashier is still a questionable presence over there.
Nathan writes in, why did the Patriots game next Sunday night against the Seahawks get moved from 8:15 to 4:15? As a resident of Southern California, they do not show any of the Patriots games unless they are Monday night, Thursday night, or Sunday night games. If they were playing at night, then we would receive it on NBC, but now that it's been moved, it will either be on Fox or CBS, and neither channel will show it. Instead, they'll play the dog-ass Jets. If you could clarify why they moved the time back 4 hours and email back with any websites that I can watch the game live, I'd appreciate it. Look forward to hearing you guys break down the Patriots-Steelers game.
Because it's a dog-ass game.
The Seahawks are going to be 2-10.
And not only 2-10, they stink.
Right.
I was looking for must-stops, and I'm struggling to find must-stops. They've had injuries. No one's played like a full season. Hasselbeck's been in and out. The running back, Branch, everybody. They don't have anybody.
I mean, at best, it's 8-4 against 2-10. That's not a primetime matchup.
Right.
So there's nothing there.
And that's why. And
at the beginning of the year, people thought Seahawks have been a playoff team for, 4 or 5 years in a row now?
Right.
Mike Holmgren's last year. The Seahawks
last year, and they've already scheduled their new head coach to fall in line with what everybody else is doing.
You know, and maybe this emailer doesn't know, but they have this new – thing over the last couple of years, the flex schedule where the networks, NBC, can opt to take a game that wasn't scheduled at night and move it into the night. You know, once right. November rolls around, they're allowed to start doing that. So
shouldn't we tell this guy about Barry Insiong and isn't the OC Southern California?
He's going to be up in Seattle. This kid's from Southern California.
No, but the club that meets in Southern California, the OC.
Oh, the OC. Well, go to Patriots.com, the FCOR.
F-Core.
And check F-U. Out the Orange County Patriots fan club run by Barry Insiong. And join it, and they'll probably have a place for you can go watch the
30
game.
Or 40 of them are at some bar,
yeah.
Unless they're in Seattle.
And the game will be on CBS, by the way.
Yes.
So if you're looking for, because you say he had mentioned CBS or Fox, it'll be on CBS.
Let's see. Oh, this is for Brian Lowe. Is he doing Lowdown today, Dan Tugent?
Yeah, can you forward it to him, Brian L.?
Sure.
I just
Why are you yelling?
I'll find it. It's in my deleted basket. Well, you get the same email.
Yeah,
it's
it'll still be
radio.
In your web radio.
Someone deleted it out of my box.
What?
Someone deleted it. Because I've shared like the folder with other people.
Oh, okay. I see.
I think Eric.
But Brian Lowe is doing a show today.
He is, from 4 to 5.
4 to 5, the lowdown. So if you need your fantasy fix and you were worried that Brian Lowe wasn't going to have a show because it was Thanksgiving.
Or hopeful.
He will have a show today at 4.
Or go, Brian Lowe has a show.
So he'll give you all your fantasy information that you need for the weekend. Also, plus tomorrow night.
And he might tell a story about his romantic excursions in Miami.
You're kidding me.
Email in the show and ask him what went down at the casino in Miami.
Wow.
Yeah. That's it right there. Email in and say, Andy said that I should ask you about your romantic
interview. Brian had a little coochie-coochie at the Hard Rock Casino?
I can't say. People have to. It's called a tease, Fred. They need to email in and listen to the lowdown.
Well, I'm interested now. Wow. Brian Lowe. Tell them you saw it on Patriots Today.
Tell them to.
Brian is from Baltimore. He says, Happy Thanksgiving. And, yes, I will include Eric in with the guys because it is Thanksgiving. And during this time, we must put all differences aside and remember the fact that Eric is part of the PFW family and actually male.
Just a quick side note. I don't know if it was one of our listeners, but someone called the Big Show yesterday and said, hey, men, and Buckley.
Oh, I know. We heard that was funny.
I heard that.
I was wondering if that was one of our listeners that's taking a little
stick
here to there.
I'm sure it's somebody that got it from us. Yeah.
People steal from us all the time.
Yeah. Not we invented everything, by the way.
No kidding.
We invented radio.
Well, we could be like the Big Show and actually, for real, claim that.
Right.
Every format that's ever out there. Well, they got that from us.
Right, right. I'll never forget the time I was in Denver, and this was a while ago. You know, the EEI was just starting to really get speed up, and I turned on the sports radio in Denver. I swear to God, it was the same thing, right from the music and the ins and outs. It was completely a formula, you know?
They steal.
Anyway, I'm pretty miffed, says Brian, about what has been said about Brady and what the team is going to do with Castle next year. I know Castle's playing much better than expected, but bottom line, he is 6-4 as a starter right now. All you have to say about Brady is 3 rings. What the fuck is wrong with people? It is totally absurd to even think about trading Brady. I'm sure we could get picks for Brady and sign Castle at the end of the year, but if that happened, I'd be pissed. Odds are the Patriots are not that dumb and don't take the risk. They will have to cut Castle loose, and Brady will be the guy once again next year. My question is, though, how much of this talk, if any, do you think Brady really takes to heart, or do you think he even cares what is being said about him possibly being traded or about the team franchising his backup? Tom Brady?
That's what I posed yesterday when it said in big letters on ESPN, should Patriots trade Tom Brady?
I think Patriots fans should hope that it does affect Tom Brady.
Maybe he'll compete again.
Because it can only affect him for the positive. You know, he comes back and says, right? What are you kidding me?
What
do I got to do before they stop doubting me?
Right.
You know, that would be a legitimate chip.
Yep.
Now, unlike the manufactured ones, that would be legitimate.
The only reason to even consider all this talk is if you have some reason to know that he's not going to come back in the same health.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Nothing to do with ability of either player.
Right.
It's got to only do with his health. That's the only reason.
I agree. If you know for a fact that he won't be able to start the season, maybe you look for some sort of contingency plan. I'm not sure that even that is enough to bring back Castle, because you'd have to pay him significantly to do that. So,
not to mention, he wouldn't be happy. Mm-hmm. You think he'd be unhappy if you franchised him with the intention of trading him? How unhappy do you think he'd be if you franchised him with the intention of sitting him on the bench and burying him for a year and a half? Yeah. He wants to play. He's finally got a taste of playing.
Strippers writes in to tell us that he is working on Thanksgiving. You know, the porn industry never sleeps. You know, especially Thanksgiving. That's a big, big time for the porn industry. A lot of lonely guys at home. The only thing that they have to keep them company is www.jennajameson.com.
So. No. He's off that.
He's off that?
Ixnay
really?
On that one.
Oh, okay.
They're the ones that Mike Parenti'd him.
Oh.
Okay. Remember, he lost half of his income and
that's true.
Stopped buying lunch?
I thought that was Playboy.
Yeah, which had bought up Jenna Jameson.
Oh, really?
Tough times.
I don't know, Bri.
You see Ted Johnson getting an award from PETA?
Yeah.
For donating his brain to science?
Ted Johnson, Jenny Thompson, and that guy from Harvard that writes all the books on those concussions. The former
Dirk
wrestler
Nowitzki?
There.
No.
Andy. Is it Andy Nowitzki? Something like that?
Brian.
Or Chris Nowitzki?
Chris.
Dirk
Nowitzki, I think, is his last name, though. He's a former Harvard football player who does a lot of that research for concussions.
Hmm. All right.
Fred lost interest while you were saying
all right. All right.
Joel from Merrimack says, speaking of the Steelers, they have four listed as doubtful, including Parker and both their starting corners.
Yep.
If they can protect Castle, it could be another 400-yard game. Also, AP Wire reports that Worthless Burger sucks. So
what? Eric chiming in.
AP says he sucks. He must suck.
No.
I think at some point the Associated Press is going to, like, own all news. All the news you read is going to come from the AP. Because, you know, newspapers are just cutting editorial staff.
They are, but a lot of them are also canceling their agreements with the AP.
So where are they getting their news from?
I have no idea. But I read a story about a lot of newspapers, mid-sized newspapers, were upset with what the AP was providing and issues. Yeah. And it's expensive. It's like more than $1 million a year for these papers to...
It is expensive, but I wonder how you get all your...
Right.
Data.
Is there anything else
like
anymore?
Box scores.
Like, isn't there used to be like...
Well, it used to be UPI.
Yeah,
UPI, there's Route, gone. Reuters.
Reuters is... But that's international, right?
Yeah, mostly.
You're not going to get as much domestic news.
No, you're not.
What is it? Night
Ritter? Night Ritter, yeah.
Is another service. UPI is gone. I mean, there used to be at least a legitimate competition between AP
and
UPI.
Right.
Like, I think Tip was actually UPI Player of the Year 1 year.
Oh, he was. Like,
they gave awards for that. But that was a long time ago.
All right.
UPI had an office in the Herald when I first started, and then it went away.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more emails, and then a little later, we got to do our picks this week.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer. And now, a blog reading from Dan Two Gender. Two Gender.
July 28th, 2008. Eli in the house. A young child, I'll estimate he's 6 or 7 years old, is on the hill in front of the media tent wearing a blue Eli Manning Giants jersey. He also has eye black on. My reaction? First, the kid has big stones. He probably also has questionable parents. And finally, he actually looks like more of an athlete than the real, goofy Eli Manning.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right, back here. Todd Porter says, Fred's right. Castle has an odd body shape. It's like he is a real tall midget. Long torso and short legs. See, I'm not the only one. I notice these things.
Long. I didn't really notice that he had overly short legs. I think he has a long torso.
For a 6'4 guy, he really does.
I don't study a lot of 6'4 men. So.
You like him taller or shorter?
Isn't this Eric's expertise?
Well, he's not here right now. So, you know, we have to do what we can. Where is Eric?
There is a chance he left because it was an organizational half day that ended at 1, and there's a chance Eric took that to mean he's gone at 1.
Yeah, but on the bottom of those emails it says, but of course, check with your department head to see.
And I would agree with you on that. I never once gave even a moment's thought today that I
nor did
any
I
time before 5.
Right. Eric often.
But I would imagine he's at practice, Fred. This is around practice time. It's usually like 10 of 12.
I say there's a chance he left.
I say there's no chance he left.
No, it's picks day. He's got to do his picks. Right?
He's working on Scalavino.com from North Providence.
Ping Pong writes in.
Ping Pong!
Hey, Matt and Eric. Yesterday you were talking about the idea of Brady being traded. I think it sounds completely absurd. In the spirit of Thanksgiving, I think that each one of you should name one thing that you are thankful for the season so far.
Ping Pong!
Mine is that Brady is recovering and that Castle is performing well. What are yours? Mine is that we don't have to play on Thanksgiving.
Ping Pong! Mine is that the Seahawks game got moved off of primetime.
Mine is that I don't have to stay on the West Coast for a week.
So all ours are very selfish, personal related.
Ain't that a kick in the butt?
And for James Sanders, the best interview in the locker room.
Seriously, what could we thankful for?
Thankful for Gerard
team?
Mayo.
How about Matt Castle?
Thankful for Matt. Well, you know.
Bill, I wanted to ask Bill a question. You talk about linebackers, and he was ranting about how, you know, it's Gildon, it's Porter, it's Harrison, it's Woodley. And I wanted to phrase a question, but I wasn't sure how to do it.
How come they can keep doing
you, it? As one who's struggled to find young linebackers over the years, how do they do it all the time?
Right.
But I kind of thought that would not be.
And it's not like they're drafting high.
No, they've gotten them in different areas. And I also kind of wanted to say, and one of the ones you hit on, Mike Vrabel, was one of their cast-offs.
Right.
Was like another that could have ended up in the long line. But I didn't have a chance.
Because they've let all those
guys.
All
you have to say is, what's the secret to their success to finding linebackers?
Good scouting.
Anybody, I don't know. See, I think he'd probably come back with you. You'd have to ask them. Which he often does when he's talking about the other team.
Plus, there was about 7 questions in a row about his notes and how often he looks at them. And
yeah, that was a little
that really got out of
hand. He writes his little notes in his notes.
No. His files. He looked
he
back
said
at
he
his
went
Steelers
back to Cleveland.
File from Cleveland, and the scouting reports are the same, and people were asking, well, how often do you do that? Is it valuable? And he said, well, you know, they're the same, so it's valuable, but most teams aren't because 90% of the team
other teams are on their 8th different system since then.
Do you notice in the game he does have a little notepad he'll take out of his pocket and write down?
Yes.
Did anyone ever ask him, like, what he's writing down?
Yes. They asked him. It was one of those Dunkin' Donuts questions of the week or whatever, EEI. And he said it varies. It can be things he wants to go over at halftime. It can be mental notes for later. After the game, he said it varies. It's just things he wants to be sure that he gets to at some point, either in the game or after the game.
Okay. Ping Pong goes on. Eric, I think I found out what is wrong with you. From what I hear on the show, you sound smart. I use my smarts to get girls on ping pong tables.
Ping
pong! If you ever do, remove the net, it gets in the way. You use your brain to think about your troubled artist life and lubricants.
Ping pong!
If Eric starts to think like me, he might actually get a girl instead of making them up. Have a great Thanksgiving.
No chance.
And P.S., I just realized that all the advice I just gave Eric won't work. I forget that he doesn't like girls. He likes men. That's just not
true. The kid is funny. He is funny.
On point.
Hey, speaking of tortured artists.
Eric's here?
He is.
Oh.
Speaking
of
Barack Obama.
Hey, here he goes. What up, fellas? Eric's here.
I have no formal artistic training.
I gotta tell you, though, I've been hooked
on
the Olympics.
See, it makes me laugh every time.
Eric, did you bring in the cold with
you?
You
want to eat my salad?
Outside?
Yeah, I think I did.
Why, you cold, Fred?
You have a little bit of cold air.
I have a cold aura about me?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because going up to practice, it was outside on the upper fields where a training camp normally is held. We had to sort of wait on that mezzanine level there while we got the okay to go up there. And as we were waiting, Bill was walking up, and he had the same cutoff sweats that he had on at the press conference today. And really not much, you know, he had the sweatshirt that he always has and the cutoff shorts and a little headband. And usually doesn't really say anything to us when he's walking up there. But today he just kind of looked over at us and was in a good mood. And he's like, I don't know how many more days of these shorts we're going to have. So
today, Junior!
Take advantage of it.
He's been in a good mood today.
And he's in a very good mood, but that is, I think, why he gets sick so often.
I was just going to say
that all year long.
Yeah, but in the summer, he's got like three layers on.
He does weird things with clothes, and then he's at the press conference with like snot dripping down his upper lip. He is. Have you ever seen it when he's glistening below his?
I know. He gets sick a lot. Oh, somebody's at the door.
Maybe not.
Hey, I'm Brian Lowe from Patriots Today. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day.
I'm going to read it because it is appropriate in the time of year, but two genders' words of the day are terrible. I'm just going to say it. It's Thanksgiving diet. That's Thanksgiving diet. And I can't tell you what it is because it mentions a competitor.
Okay.
Could be the Qdoba diet.
All right. Now, Eric, why don't you give us the practice report for today?
Okay. Well, practice was in upper shells.
Are there lower shells?
No, there's no such thing. I wanted to get Fred going on the whole uppers thing. That's why I said that. But good news: return to practice. Running back Lamont Jordan. Finally.
He was upright in the locker room. Remember, I turned.
He was.
Head, hey,
he's upright.
That's
he
right.
Was.
He's usually sleeping.
Usually
he
he's usually on his back with his feet up on his little folding chair. Enough with that. Enough.
No, that's Lamont Jordan sleeping. You're not putting him to sleep.
He can't tell with him. So he was back, but there were a couple of guys who were not there. Adalis Thomas, of course. Richard Seymour again, and Kelly Washington.
He's been in and out.
So those three guys were in. And we had another guy return to the team who's been sort of on and off the past couple of years. Your favorite, Fred. Punter, Tom Malone. Tom Mayday Malone, back to the practice squad.
Really?
Who's off the practice squad?
Let's see. 2, 4, 6.
Do you think that they signed Tom Malone to keep Pittsburgh from signing him? Because the punter they have is terrible.
I thought they would have a new punter for this game.
Yeah,
that's why I wrote that. I actually said he might not even make it to Foxborough. I guess Tomlin ripped into him after that game on against Cincinnati. I mean, specifically talking about the kicks and how bad they were.
I didn't think
there was any chance that he would stay.
Where has Tom Malone been?
I wonder if he was
home,
on someone
probably,
else's team. No, he was. He kicked for some. No, it was Hodges that kicked.
Yeah,
for
Hodges
the Jets.
Went to
Hodges
the Jets.
Was on the Jets.
It was a different practice squad punter.
Right.
My bad.
Yeah, I don't think Tom Malone's been with anybody. I think he's just been.
Yeah, I mean, from what I saw, that Pittsburgh punter, I mean, he was doing a Paul O'Neill thing. Who was that guy?
Pat O'Neill.
I mean, he was just shanking it off the side of his foot and just blowing it up out there.
A couple of other interesting notes, though. Five black shirts at practice.
Okay.
And a couple of interesting names, too, I thought.
Practice
squad guy Mark Dillard was one, yes. Gary Guyton, rookie, was another one. Kevin Falk, correct, Paul.
Wildcat.
Wildcat, that's right. Yeah. Russ Hochstein. And Vince Red. Red wearing black.
A dominant practice squad player.
It's at least his third.
Dominant. Practice squad player of the year.
I mean, they only have Red. 7 wins. That's at least his third practice player of the year.
He's gotten about half of them. That's
he's
going
to win it. Practice squad player of the year. Bottom line. Practice player.
You want to make that a category?
Sure.
In our lists this year?
Big Red.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there you go. That's practice. It's overcast. It's chilly, Fred.
Yep.
Feels a little soggy from the rain we had yesterday.
Yeah, we got a lot of rain here at Gillette Stadium yesterday. It was like one of those spring rains where it just
and
poured.
It must have gotten pretty cold overnight, too, because there was a lot of ice this
morning.
Yeah.
So I had a rough
morning this
morning.
You had a rough morning?
You did?
Yeah.
What happened, Fred?
Well, it's always
talk
tough.
To us.
It's always tough when the kid says, oh, I have to do this for school, and he's telling you the morning of.
Wow. Those are great days.
What was this?
I don't want to get into it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
it ended me calling his teacher to get
an extension?
To get the real lowdown on what the hell was going on.
Uh-oh.
You had that ability?
She got back to me. I left her a message.
Wow.
Is that why you sprinted out of the room this morning when Paul and I were talking to you?
No, I was just really bored of listening to you.
Oh,
so.
Is Connor in trouble?
Not as much as he could have been. It's not too bad.
Were you talking to the teacher this morning?
Yeah.
When you were talking about laziness?
Yeah.
Oh, it all makes sense now.
Paul thought I was talking about him.
Never know. You never know.
Oh, you heard that? You were here when I was...
You were screaming.
I was?
You were upset.
Well, he's in the office right next to you. It doesn't take a whole lot for him
to hear. I wasn't screaming.
You didn't get his little subtle humor attempt?
Yes,
oh, you were here for that?
Yes, I did get the subtle humor.
Yeah. I wasn't screaming.
There was no traffic today.
No traffic today. No traffic.
He used another word, ineptitude.
Well, that's when I was talking
that's
about
what he was,
Paul.
Oh, I thought that's when you were talking about the teacher.
So you were telling the teacher this, or you were...
No, I never used inept.
No, laziness. I think.
There was another word you used along the lines of ineptitude. I forget. It might not have been ineptitude, but I heard you.
Effort. Effort and laziness. That's what I was...
Yeah,
I actually...
But you were saying this to the teacher, or you were telling somebody else?
No, I was talking to the teacher.
I thought it was something work-related, not necessarily with us, but I thought it was some kind of... project that you had going and you had been giving someone a hard time and they were calling to say, hey, you got to lighten up or something. You're like, I need to stop, you know, calling them lazy or something like that. Or the lazy, you know, it was weird the way it came out. I couldn't imagine what you were talking about.
What's the gabagoo? She's like, there's no gabagoo. She's like, there's no gabagoo. All right.
What were you talking about in that bite, by the way?
It was a Mad TV skit about the Sopranos.
And you were retelling it?
I was saying, did you see it last night? And I never watched that show. Mad TV.
Oh.
That was like the one time ever that I watched it.
It's not even on anymore, is it?
Mad TV? I think it is.
That was on Fox, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's just before Saturday Night Live. That's where that Mike Caliendo get his start, right?
Yeah. Oh, Frank.
Frank,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, he too?
He too.
Iggy from Madrid. I can't believe there are actually people sending emails lobbying to trade Brady and keep Castle. Are you kidding me?
I knew that would happen.
Andy wants to do it.
Brady is probably one of the best QBs of the history of the game. He has played under tons of pressure without receivers hurt, and he's probably 3 or 4 years still to go. But my point is that the only scenario you would like to keep Castle and trade Brady if Castle's the real deal and Brady is done is virtually an impossible one. You have to make a decision on Castle in February, that is before you really know Brady's status for the 09 season. And it is my understanding that you cannot trade Brady while he is hurt, right? This means you cannot trade him before February. I wonder if that does come into the grievance thing if they traded Brady while he was hurt.
No, I think they could if the other team agreed to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, why would that...
I don't think they
preclude a trade.
You can't cut a guy who's hurt.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Good.
But he's going to get paid by either one of the two teams.
So it is what it is. Either you release Brady and sign Castle in February, or you just decide on Castle to franchise him or not, regardless of Brady's situation. Even if the Patriots decide that they want to trade Brady after February, but before the 09 season, it is very unlikely they will get Castle on a long-term deal. Even if you manage to make room on your salary cap for both of them, it is highly unlikely that Castle would sign with the Patriots knowing that Brady is still on the team. Really, I think we're just going to have to get over this, folks.
The bottom line is he's going to play somewhere else.
Right.
I don't know exactly how it'll play out, but he's going to be on another team.
Chris writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, I was just listening to yesterday's show and can't believe people are saying trade Brady for Castle. I mean, this is Tom blanking-ing Brady. Talk to me after Castle drives them 80-some-odd yards to win a Super Bowl or even a playoff game. Castle is doing great, but he isn't Brady. P.S. Titmouse. Just throwing that out there.
Just wanted to get you to say the first half of that word, isn't it?
Isn't that one of those words that you guys were talking about one day?
I think so.
Yeah.
What words?
You know the word, Eric?
I've heard it, yeah.
It's a small mouse, right?
Right.
He knows what a titmouse is. It's take away the mouse. He's never seen that.
Now, let me ask you something, Andy. Do you also laugh when people write in, hey, guys, and Andy, which has been happening a lot lately?
I haven't heard any of those.
Yeah, that's, I didn't think so.
I do not recall, Senator.
Stop telling lies. You are an
But I do laugh.
Liar.
It made it to the big show. Somebody called in the big show and said, hey, men and Buckley.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's one of our from here, either one of our listeners or somebody heard
an
it.
An outgrowth of the show.
You know, we do have some crossover.
Oh, yeah. Anthony in Naples calls in the show every time I'm on.
Yeah, and Alfecto.
Yep.
Yeah.
He calls Dennis Bill Berry a lot. Bill Berry calls?
Well, I know he
Bill Berry's never called us.
Yeah. He writes into Michael Felger's mailbag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe he should start doing that more often than writing into our show.
Paul hates Bill Berry.
Well, you know, they've gone at it.
Hate's a strong word, Andy.
But not necessarily inaccurate in this case.
Paul's gone at it with him. Paul gets sucked in. He actually replies to these emails.
Yeah, right. you never do.
I don't.
Yeah, you never take any bait.
Like Phil Savage?
Yeah, I was going to say, he replies like that.
Glenn Newburyport's on the phone. Glenn, how you doing?
Oh, hey, guys. What's up?
I was just
checking in with you guys. I haven't called in before. But I'm heading down to the Cape to pick up my mom for Thanksgiving, and in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I just wanted to thank you guys for making the whole football experience so much better for me. Since I've been listening to you guys and going to the games with my wife, you guys have just made it so much better. I know so much more about the game now, and, you know, it's Thanksgiving, so I thought I'd call and say
Well, we appreciate that.
I have no idea how to respond to that.
Now, where on the Cape does your mom live?
My mom's in Chatham.
Oh, good.
So I was coming down from Newburyport all the way to Chatham, you know.
Now, when you were younger, did you go to the Squire?
Oh, Jesus. There's been so many people thrown through that window.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I've gone to the Squire before, but the one in Revere, not necessarily the one in
Cape. Oh, yeah, that's a different one.
And you never, a different kind of Squire.
You never got defenestrated?
What's that?
No, but I never got thrown through a window either.
Well, that's cool, Glenn. Have a good Thanksgiving yourself. Say hello to your mom for me.
I will.
All right.
I will. And I wanted to say, Eric, I was hoping for Eric.
Eric,
I'm
here.
Myself.
I'm right here. What do you want,
Glenn? I have no artistic training either, Eric.
And
as a photographer, I'm a photographer.
He's also not an artist
artistic
either.
Training.
Yeah, but he's from Newburyport, though.
They,
they
fancy, from Eric.
They fancy themselves. Fred. You know, they're artistic types up there.
Yeah, they're the elite.
You hugging any trees up there?
There's hope all every day.
Foofy fancy.
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Oh, yeah. Foofy fancy. You're right, too, Jim.
It's nice area up there.
No, very nice. Fancy. Very we're not all fancy in Newburyport.
Yeah. That's where people from Everett
that's why you're laughing.
Want to be someday. They want to be in Newburyport.
Right, Fred.
Okay.
Well, thanks, guys. I hope you have a great turkey day. And I'm headed down to the game on Sunday, so hopefully things will go well.
All right.
Well, happy Thanksgiving.
All right, you too.
That has to be the nicest phone call we've ever
Glenn
received.
Glenn in Newburyport.
And tell your mom we said hi.
Well, you know.
You know, speaking of Everett, Fred, and their warped ways of doing things, I just found this out last night. I was in Everett for a short time. They're putting $1.5 million into a new stadium.
For the kids.
For football.
For high school.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
Oh, yeah. That's money well spent in this economy, I would say. Yeah, you got to have a better football field than the one you're playing on already.
Well, wouldn't you say, though, that the football program brings money into the school?
How much more money are you going to bring into the school
because
your field is better?
Those snacks that you sell at halftime?
You know what they're going to get? They're going to put in turf, I assume.
Well, that's $500,000. They got a grant for that or something
like
that.
And you know what? This is going to ensure them that they get to do what Brockton does, which hosts the playoff game.
Never happen. There's no parking. Never happen.
Because that's Brockton has it in their contract with the MIAA.
They're getting new locker rooms and new and more permanent seating. Now, Everett Stadium in the past used to be this big horseshoe that used to seat 10,000 people. It was great, but there was old wooden with the big metal stanchions. You know, it was old and it was
rickety.
It wasn't really rickety, but it was so old that they feared that before something happened, they needed to take it down. Now they just have stands on one side. So they do need something of more. They need more seating, first of all, because there's never any game, even the regular season games, you can't get a seat anywhere.
Well, it sounds like they're trying to attract free agents from other towns.
Right, which it's they've high school. No, you can't do that.
They've had no trouble doing that over the years as it is.
Well, that's true. And, you know, listen, jealousy will get you nowhere, and you'll get your butt kicked in the
playoffs. I don't know. I might be
Although
able to make the case.
Although I think Everett might not make the Super Bowl this year. I have a feeling they're going to lose in the semifinals.
I might make the case, though, that football has been an important part of Everett
Fred,
High School
over
the years.
It's not $1.5 million important.
That's not a lot of money these days, Paul.
But these days,
I don't know what town
is.
You
I
live
disagree.
In. You're ridiculous if
Paul's
you don't think
right.
That.
In
That's
this
ridiculous.
Economy, in these struggles.
You know what town
they
is.
Don't have books.
Yeah.
In
other
you don't
years,
need them
10
in
years ago, maybe it would have worked, but
the only book you need is the
Where
one with the
priorities.
Bets.
That's why people like me are longing to get out so we can go to Newburyport because they're putting $1.5 million into a stupid stadium.
Uh-oh.
You have and no that, artistic training?
By the
either?
Way, that stadium is the one I grew up playing in, too, so it means a lot to me anyway. I have no problem with the fact that it's going to be nice again, like it was when I was a kid. It was
going back to the
place.
40s with Paul.
But come on, there's plenty of better ways for a small city to use their revenue.
Everett's a small city?
Yeah, it's only 2 square miles.
It's a lot of people for 2 square miles.
About 30,000.
Wow, we're just on top of each other in there. All right, well, we're going to take a break and talk Paul down, and when we come back, we'll do the picks.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
3 kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Well, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about 1 million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from 2 delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s of Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he's rated the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably on mission statement right there. Wow. I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was before 85, so. I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Now we're back. Time to go around the NFL with our weekly picks. And we got to hurry because
We only have half an hour. I know.
29 minutes.
Jeez. I'm sorry. That's my cue to hurry up.
So, Paul, why don't you tell us what happened last week in the season standings?
Okay. Andy, Paul, and Fred all went 11-5 last week. Eric went 10-6. With the spread, I went 11-5 as well.
Really?
Andy went 10-6.
Woohoo! Eric 500. I'm knocking.
Eric and Fred were 9-7. Season standings to date. Fred 118-57-1. Andy 116-59-1. So still only two games back. You maintain your two game gap there. Eric 110-65-1, and I am now in last 109-66-1. I wrote five, but that's one. With the spread, however, Fred maintains his lead, but I'm catching up. 102-69-5. I am 95-76-5. So 7 games back. That's as close as I've been all season.
Wow. It's trending up.
Eric is 88-83-5, and Andy, maybe as close as you've been to 500 all season.
Certainly.
84-87-5.
Oh, since 0-0-0.
So the four of us picking every game with the spread all year, we only have one of us below 500, and it's only three games.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So that's a pretty good job of picking. I would say that's an average season for most people.
That's better than those guys in the paper.
Better than those famous guys in Vegas, too, some of them.
Or not so famous ones, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not so much in Vegas.
All right.
They might even be sick or not.
Or not so much.
Probably not.
All right. Let's get to the picks. We have three games tomorrow, which is a good thing about Thanksgiving.
And a bad thing.
Three games now.
in this regard.
But although I won't be able to see any of them.
But as you said, it's not us.
Why won't you be out and about?
We're not one of those
games. You don't have Thanksgiving at
home? Going up to New
Hampshire. Oh.
And what do you eat there?
We're going out.
Oh, I thought you were a lobster Thanksgiving guy or something.
Back in the day, we used to have roast beef and lobster. We weren't a big turkey family.
Yeah, see, I hate turkey, too.
Just to be contrarian.
And now we're...
No, to have what you want to eat.
I did have three turkeys on my front lawn this morning, though, when I woke up.
Really?
Yeah, three wild turkeys in the front lawn, and Will and I were looking at them, and Will said he wanted to go out and get one so he could have it for Thanksgiving lunch. Not dinner, Thanksgiving lunch.
Well, he's got to, you know, hit the sack early, you know, at that age, right? He's got to eat earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Different sack than you were hitting at that age.
See, now, I knew something. Wow, the glare that Eric just gave.
God almighty.
That came off my head, actually.
I heard.
Miserable human being.
Sack was on your head.
The glare.
Look at this guy who plays college basketball. He's like 110.
You actually missed the props I gave you for getting Matt Castle for all your features moving forward.
I didn't miss that. You told me.
Oh.
No,
I did it on the air.
He said it on
the
air, too.
Oh, okay.
He gave you props after he made fun of you, he said, actually, I can't make fun of him today because he actually did something. He did something.
Always has to
quote, he did something.
Fred said, where's Eric? And I go, well, it was sort of an organizational half day, so there's a chance he bolted out the door at 1 o'clock.
I had your back, though. I said there's no chance that he left. I had your back.
Thank you.
I said you're at practice.
Thank you, Paul. No good comment goes unpunished in Andy's
case, right.
Huh?
All right, let's get to the games. The first game is tomorrow at 12:30, and that is Tennessee at Detroit. Oh, boy.
Good boy. Titans by 11.
Jets ruined this matchup.
They did. It was 11-0, 0-11, but the Jets ruined that.
I'll take the Titans. I'll take them to roll. That defense will absolutely eat Dante Culpepper like one of those big old drumsticks.
Turducken.
Yeah, whatever that
Eric?
Clown does.
Paul, you know I've been big on the Lions every week this year. This is the week that I always say. You know, this is the week they get can't possibly go 0-16.
And speaking of the lines that don't go unpunished, what did I say to you on the bus this week? Eric, when are you going to stop picking Detroit and giving us a game
spotting us a game every week? Well, you're right. This is not going to be the week, and can't be thankful for the record that I've been having with Detroit this year. So, Tennessee will win big.
What was the spread? I wasn't actually.
It doesn't even matter.
11. I am going to take take Tennessee, too. It's a lot of points for a team that doesn't score a whole lot, but I just can't. I can't pick Detroit, even on Thanksgiving. I know the last couple of weeks they've jumped out to leads, but even then they haven't covered. I think Tennessee is pretty angry about their first loss. They need to bounce back.
I am going to take Tennessee, obviously, but Detroit will cover this game.
Paul just got a game closer.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while they throw up a stinker on Thanksgiving, but a lot of times they are competitive when they're not thought they were going to be. So I'll say they'll at least cover the 11 points. All right. The 4:15 game is Seattle at Dallas.
And this is the biggest spread of the weekend. Cowboys by 12.5.
I'll take the Cowboys to win and cover as well. Looking into this Seattle game as we're working on the preview, Seattle stinks.
I like Dallas, especially on Thanksgiving Day games, so I'll pick them to win big, too. Seattle's just a horrible team this year.
Yeah, I think Dallas likes the national spotlight, and they'll look to score as many points as they can and win as impressively as they can, so I'll lay the points.
I got to agree with that. Dallas wins this game big. Seattle is just, man, they, you know, for a while people thought that they were going to be one of the perennial powers in that NFC West, but they really just came down fast after that Super Bowl appearance.
I think they mismanaged the cap, too. They gave a lot of big deals to the wrong people, and when you look at their roster, they still have some of the people, and then they have a ton of guys that you've never heard of that aren't rookies, aren't like prospects that are developing. I think they're a perfect example of too much money that they threw around to guys like Deion Branch and the guy they got from Minnesota in that pissing contest with the Vikings over the guard. Boy, am I really turning
Steve Hutchinson. Hutchinson.
Borges. Yeah. But I think they mismanaged that crap. Fred, there, you laughed, I think, when they gave the Deion Branch money. Well laughed.
Let's see. Arizona at Philadelphia. This is the Thursday night game, 8:15 on the NFL Network. Arizona at Philly.
Eagles by 3. Donovan McNabb will start.
Yes.
But
he said the janitor told him.
But
won't finish.
It looks like Samuel and Buckholter will not play.
Okay. I will take the Arizona Cardinals to win on the road. I think there's a budding debacle in Philadelphia, this whole thing.
Yep.
For the guy to be coming back and sort of, okay, we've moved through this, and then to joke about the janitor told me, I have a good relationship with him. We had a long conversation. That made me have blah, 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 all that. Don McNabb mismanages every situation that's been stressful that he's ever been involved in. And I think everybody said that the Cardinals kind of made a statement by hanging with the Giants. Now they make a little bit of a statement by crossing the country and winning on the road.
I agree with that. I think Culpepper is going to start the game but not finish it like he did last week or the week before, whatever it was.
Or McNabb.
What did I say?
Culpepper.
Sorry.
To Eric, yeah. You know.
To Eric, they're all, you know. What, Fred?
Oh, God. That's awful what you just said to him.
Well, you know.
What did you say,
voted
Fred?
Voted for McCain.
What? I didn't hear what you said, Fred.
That's terrible.
You know the R word I called you once and you got really mad?
Yes.
He's saying that.
He was just he was insinuating that they're all
what,
the same.
Fred? Oh,
that's awful.
See now,
that's beneath you, Fred.
That's beneath you.
Nothing's
even you.
Beneath Fred.
That was horrible. What with that guy's mom? Evidently.
Now
that's terrible.
Mrs.
I didn't
Newberry
say that. What I meant.
How old did Glenn sound?
I think that's what you meant.
Like 40s, early
50s. Shout out to Glenn's mom. That's all.
Yeah, you haven't seen her in a while, right?
You said 70-year-old in a nursing home in Chatham.
Now.
Starting in January, we're going to lay more pipe.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. You betcha.
Anyway, I think who are they? The Cardinals are playing well. I'm going to take them on the road.
Everybody gets off. We're going to grab them and have a party.
I'd like to party with her anytime.
Easy now.
That was Aaron Andrews, right?
Yes. I, too, like the Cardinals in this game, and I, too, was impressed with their performance against the Giants last week. Fred talks about those kinds of losses all the time. Sometimes you can learn a lot with a good effort, even if it's a losing cause, and you find out that, yes, you're a competitor. And I think the Cardinals found that out last week.
You know, as bad as Donovan McNabb is having a time over in Philadelphia, I think the problem begins and ends with Andy Reid. I think he's lost control of that team completely. You go back to when he was having trouble with the kids. This is a guy who should have taken a year off at least, you know, and took a couple weeks off or a month or whatever it was and then came back. He really needs to get out of coaching for a while and just, you know, kind of re-energize himself and figure out what he wants to do. He's lost control of that team.
I think that I think he's a great coach. I really do.
But I think
he's an unbelievable talent evaluator. I think what he might lack is communication skills. I think there seems like there seems to be a lot of gaps when he has these dust-ups a lot, you know, and we always blame the player. I mean, it was T.O.'s fault. It was, you know, McNabb's fault. Why doesn't he run the ball? You know, there seems to be these lapses there with him. I think he's a terrific talent evaluator, and the Eagles are always, always in the picture.
Yep.
And then something happens.
Yep.
And I think that might be.
He could use a year off.
I'm going to go with Arizona in this game.
I agree.
That whole regime there has run its course. It's time for probably them to all go their separate ways and start over elsewhere.
Okay. Sunday at 1 we move on to, and San Francisco at Buffalo is up.
Bills by 7.
San Francisco at Buffalo. Mm. I'll take Buffalo to win and cover because I think if they don't cover, they won't win. I'm scared of them a little bit because I think they played like a very bad football team for a couple of weeks, but they bounced back,
yeah.
And San Francisco is a bad football team. So I'll take the Bills, but I'm still a little hesitant about feeling good about them.
Well, if there's a team you want to bounce back against, the Niners
San
are a good team to
a
do
good
it.
Choice.
So, yeah, I agree. I think Buffalo will win this game and cover the points.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with the two gents before me, Fred. I don't, right in the same line of thinking.
You know, I thought that Buffalo was, you know, on the way to just tanking the season. Then, of course, they had that game last week. But you know what? I'm going to go with San Francisco with the upset in this game. I'm not buying what Buffalo did last week against Kansas City.
I'm not buying that either. It's more of a vote against San Francisco.
Yeah, I think Singletary will motivate them for a week, and they'll play well and beat Buffalo. Baltimore at Cincinnati. Baltimore, surprise team this year?
They would knock your New England Patriots out of the playoffs if they started today.
Yeah.
Ravens by 7. Ravens have a tough schedule down the stretch.
They could have a 3-game losing streak on the horizon.
Yeah, they need this one. Actually,
is it Washington, Dallas,
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, and that might not be in that order, but those three, I think.
And they both, actually, both Baltimore and Pittsburgh have very, very tough Decembers. So they have to have a game like this against Cincinnati.
They have to have it, and they'll get it. I just think they are a solid football team. Any team that has a rookie quarterback, I always have my fears. But I think the Bengals stink.
Yeah, and Baltimore's playing well with Flacco, and Atlanta's playing well with Matt Ryan. It's interesting that two of the top quarterbacks taken are actually doing what they, you know, living up to their potential, unlike some other drafts. So I like the way Baltimore's playing. I don't like the way Cincinnati's playing. I'm surprised, honestly, that Lewis is still coaching over there, but you know, maybe that'll change after the season. I'll go with Baltimore in this game.
Yeah, I like Baltimore as well. I think they win the game somewhat easily, but I'm going to take the points on the other side with Cincinnati because I think they've been playing competitively lately. The game got out of control against Pittsburgh very late, but it was a 20-10 game with less than 2 minutes to go. They had tied Philadelphia the game before that. I think they won their only game against Jacksonville the week before that. So they're trending. They haven't quit. They've played hard the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think
he's getting it done, right?
He's getting better.
I think that they get up for this game because they realize it could be a trap game with the schedule that Andy talked about coming down. So I think Baltimore wins and covers. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. We got to hurry.
We don't, but Tampa Bay is favored by 3.5.
I guess I'll take Tampa. They're a team that, what's their record like, 8-3? 9-2?
Yeah, 8-3, I think.
7-4, I thought, but I don't know for sure.
I think they're 8-3.
I thought they were like a game up on the
Panthers. 8-3? Yep. 8-3.
And Carolina are tied.
They're not up on the Panthers.
I don't.
I think they have the
Panthers.
I have
8-3.
I think they have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, they have the tiebreaker. So they're in first place.
Oh, but they have the same record as
right,
my point.
Right, but they're leading the division, and I don't really think that much of them. I know their defense has played well all year, doesn't give up points. I'll take them, but not feel real good about it. I also would not feel real good about picking the Saints because I don't like them at all.
I'm going to pick the Saints, though, because, honestly, I don't think Tampa Bay is as good as their record indicates. And New Orleans is one of those teams that 1 week they look horrible, the next week they look like gangbusters. I think
that's why I didn't pick them, because last week they looked like gangbusters.
I think they'll play well again this week, though.
Tampa Bay, for what Andy said, that team doesn't win 2 games in a row.
Tampa Bay wins this game, absolutely. All right, New York Giants at Washington. New York Giants at Washington.
Giants by 3.5.
The New York Giants go down to Washington and beat up on the Redskins, further stamping themselves as the best, most consistent team in the National Football League in the season 2008.
Did you hear the interesting note about this game? About the
interesting
Giants
to note that.
Oh, we have an interesting note for you. That
he's looking for the presidential pardon.
Yeah,
for
help from Washington.
Either you or I needs to put in the paper that each of the Patriots' next 3 opponents play the game before on Thursday night, so they have 10 days coming in for the preparation.
Cool.
Is that too much for you?
No.
The first down note?
First down, I think.
Okay.
That's relevant.
Sure, that's relevant.
It is I don't want it in a thing you don't care about, Box.
No, it won't be in one of those. Don't worry.
Could be football 101.
It's all right.
You'll learn something from that. Anything you learn from things.
Giants?
No, I'm sorry. Washington.
Really?
Washington's going to have the upset. Washington is 15-2.
Okay.
14-2 is what the Giants are going to end up with. What did I say, 15? God, I'm having a bad day.
I thought you were going to come up with like gambling numbers. The Redskins are 15-2 as a home dog in the NFC East or something.
Hank Goldberg, who we saw at the game.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for right there.
I
like the Giants in this game. I think the Redskins are trending downward. The games that they've won recently have been against bad teams and very tight games. like their win over Seattle, as a matter of fact, a 20-17 win that they needed a last-second field goal. So I like the Giants to further cement their status, as Andy said, as the best team in
football. I have to agree with Paul. I'm off the Redskins. I think the Giants win and cover. The offense for Washington just hasn't done what they need to do. So,
did you pick the Redskins to go to the Super Bowl?
No, I didn't pick them. Did I? To go to the Super Bowl?
I think you did.
That's why I was asking.
I might have. I did. Yeah.
Just wondering.
I did. Okay, Miami at Seattle. St. Louis. Sorry.
The Dolphins are favored by 8.
I will take the Dolphins to win and cover. They bounce back. I think you see the Wildcat make some plays against that defense. Maybe they'll actually throw a couple wrinkles out there this week and not just run right up the middle with Ronnie Brown out of that formation. Big loss for them, Greg Camarillo, but I think they overcome it. I think Pennington is a little bit Brady-like, and he'll find some receivers to throw for 240 yards and a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, 8 seems like a big number given the way Miami has been up and down this year. But against a team like St. Louis, I think it's enough. So I'll take Miami both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to 2, but I agree with Eric. I think that number seems a little high. But St. Louis, Bulger out. I know he got knocked out of the last game.
So.
St. Louis and San Francisco, to me, are two teams that are just you can't pick them. If you lose picking against them, you lose. You just can't pick them.
Not surprisingly, they're the two teams that decided to go in a different direction with their head coaches.
Miami's 6-5, and the AFC East that a lot of people thought was the weakest division is the only division in football with all teams over 500. Every team is over 500.
I thought there was
AFC
another
East.
Division.
Nope.
I think that is the only one. But
there's a couple with 5-5 teams.
NFC East is 5-5-1.
NFC North, I think you're thinking of too, right?
NFC. The NFC
South.
East.
NFC South too.
Oh, they're over 500.
Yeah, I knew there was.
The NFC
one.
South is every team is over.
You sure about that?
Yep. New Orleans is 6-5. They're in last place.
Okay, because I was looking at the standings before Monday night's game. They're pretty competitive, this AFC East.
It's very competitive, the division. I'm not sure it's good.
Yeah, it's bad. It's still bad.
Miami wins, but they don't cover. Somehow, St. Louis covers this game. All right, Indianapolis at Cleveland. Indianapolis at Cleveland.
Indy by 4.5, Andy.
I'll take Indy to win and cover. That Cleveland defense, the one time I watched them this year, looked terrible. And now I guess Brady Quinn's out for the year with that injury.
Really? Yeah, now does that mean that Romeo Crennel should get some apologies from the bozos at ESPN that ripped him for taking him out of the game the other day?
Sure.
Okay. I was just wondering. He got killed because he made the move from Anderson and said, Brady Quinn's our quarterback. He's our guy. And then in the third quarter of a game that he was struggling like crazy, they took him out.
Struggling because of the finger.
Of course. Right. You think the coach might have known that? But they killed him. You can't just play musical chairs with the quarterback, and you can't go to one guy and say he's the guy and then take him out three quarters later, blah, 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 blah. Guy's on IR. He's out for the year.
I think they owe you an apology, sounds like.
I like Romeo, and I think it was ridiculous. He's going to get fired, whatever. He hasn't done a great job. That's fair. But to rip him for that, to me, was unfair.
No, I agree.
Sorry.
Go root for the Browns. F you.
Who are you picking?
I'm going to take Indy. I picked the Browns too many times this year in upsets. I don't think it's going to happen this week.
Yeah, I like Indy as well. I think they're finally starting to settle in a little bit. They continue to live on the edge, though, so I'm worried about points. But I'm going to lay them here because Cleveland's defense, like Andy said, I don't think is good enough to stop.
Yeah, Indy's becoming one of those teams you're starting to fear. You don't want to play, if you're a playoff contender. They're really coming on.
If I were one of the teams in the AFC – if it's going to end up being Pittsburgh or the Tennessee or whatever, I would not want to see the Patriots or the Colts.
Yep.
Starting to look like you might have to see both.
I would not want to see either one of those teams.
So there's a lot of people I saw still predicting, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I still get the feeling it's going to come down to the Patriots.
Adam Schefter said it the other day.
Is that
day?
One of the guys? Yeah. I heard somebody else say it, too.
I don't think both of them will be there, but I think really one either. Of them will.
All right, I'll go with the Colts both ways. Carolina at Green Bay. Green Bay had a big game last week.
Yeah, only lost by 30. Let's see, Carolina at Green Bay. Packers by 3. Look at the chuckle he gives me. They lost 51-29.
That Packers defense that I used to think was good didn't look so good the other night. What they give up, 50 points?
51 points.
500 million yards to Drew.
Only a couple of 70-yard touchdowns.
You know, obviously the Panthers don't necessarily have the same kind of offense. They're running the ball with those two backs. But I'm going to take the Panthers to get the win on the road. I think the Packers are not playing very well right now.
Yeah, they're not. And I can never tell with Carolina. Sometimes I think they look good. Sometimes I don't. But they're 8-3, so they're doing something right. But I think this week Green Bay does something at home to win this game.
Yeah, those are two teams that it's, Green Bay's been impossible to predict all year. Every time you think they're going, but and I don't have a lot of faith in Carolina, especially on the road. But I'm going to take Carolina. I'll take the points here. I'm going to take them to win outright. So Panthers get this one in Lambeau.
I was really shocked at that game, you know, against New Orleans. I could not believe that Green Bay gave up that much points. I just got to chuck it up to just one of those games. I'm going to take Green Bay to bounce back and win this game. Carolina's also been very inconsistent this year. Go, Pack, go. So
they're an inconsistent 8-3.
Right.
Pats are rock solid 7-4.
Atlanta.
Same performance every week.
Atlanta at San Diego. Atlanta
Chargers
at San
by
Diego.
5.
This is an interesting
game. Very interesting game, Andy.
Got to hurry.
You got to hurry.
Michael, the burner, Turner's big return to the San Diego area. I am going to say that the Matt Ryans have the huge road upset, even though they have the better record, right? So this is one of those.
Significantly.
I think that's a good
7-4
win.
7-4 to 4-7.
That's a good win on the road for them. I don't care what the records say. That's a good win to go in there and get it done, and they will.
You stole my thunder, Andy,
I see
on the Chargers pick there. I was going to go with the Atlanta upset as well because I think Ryan's playing great, and I don't like the way the Chargers play, and they still have North Turner as their head coach. So.
Wow. What a bonehead move he did.
Maybe Josh McDaniels will go there.
Yeah.
San Diego?
I got San Diego in this game. I'm going to go with I'll lose again by picking the team that I think is more talented, but they have the worst coach. So I'll take the Chargers.
I think you're right. I think the Chargers win this game. But what are they favored by?
5.
They don't cover. Denver at the Jets. Denver at the Jets.
Jets by 7.5.
I'll take the Jets. They're playing good, solid football pretty much all the way around right now. The Broncos stink.
Yeah, just the opposite is true of Denver. You're right. I'm surprised that the Jets are playing this well. I'm surprised Favre's playing this well, but they are, so I got to give them the nod.
All right.
Yeah. Same here. I'm a little surprised by how well the Jets are playing. Their secondary would still concern me if I were a New York fan, watching what the Patriots did to it in the second half. But, you know, I'm not sure that Jay Cutler can do the same thing with his receivers that Randy Moss and Wes Welker and all those guys did.
Well, it's the holiday season. That means I start picking games out of spite. I will pick Denver to win this game.
I thought you were off the Broncos.
Yeah,
no,
but he's always been
the
off
Jets.
The Jets.
So
I don't know him at all, do you?
Brett Favre comes on the TV behind me, and Fred throws double-barrel birds at him.
I just can't pick the Jets this time of year. I don't care how much better they are than the team they're playing.
Big one for them to lose. Be a big one. Get it tied going into December if the Patriots can win.
If Denver can't spoil the Patriots season, let's have them spoil the Jets season. And Mike Shanahan,
why would you want them to spoil the Patriots season?
Well, they do a lot. That's what I'm saying. They haven't this year. We kill them.
Okay.
So
instead of spoiling ours, you want them to spoil
exactly.
The Jets.
Exactly. Eric, you get it because you're smart.
Thank you. But he said if they can't spoil the Patriots.
Or you could
season,
say Eric speaks idiot.
Kansas City at Oakland. At one time,
Raiders
this was a
by
big
3.
Game.
First time the Raiders have to be favored.
There it is.
I'll take the Raiders, I guess.
Is this what Al Davis meant when he said the Raiders will be back?
It's not worth
being
any
favored
thought
by 3 over Kansas City?
Yeah, what an awful game. But I think the Raiders are actually playing for something. I don't know what it is, but they're playing, and Kansas City's not. I'll take Oakland and the point.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs gave up 54 points to Buffalo. And as I said during the game last week, I didn't think Buffalo was capable of scoring 54 points in a walkthrough. That's a terrible offense to give up 54 points to. So the Raiders can't be any worse than Buffalo offensively. I'll take the Raiders.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with the Raiders in this game. All right,
wow.
Sunday night.
That's unbelievable.
It really is. We all picked the Raiders.
Sunday night, 8:15, Chicago at Minnesota.
Vikings by 3.
It's a tough game to pick.
I will take the Bears to shut down Adrian Peterson and get the road victory.
Peterson. No, he's going to run all over the Bears. I take the Vikings in the points.
It's a tough one. I'm going to take Chicago, but not feeling real good about it. This was an unbelievable shootout back at Soldier Field a couple of weeks ago. It's like a 50-something to 40-something, something like that. So I don't really see Chicago shutting down Adrian Peterson, especially in Minnesota, but I'm going to take the Bears because I think they're a better all-around team.
They might be, and to me this is a toss-up game, so I'm just going with the home team here. I'm going to go with the Vikings.
That's probably sound reasoning, Fred.
Jacksonville at Houston. Jacksonville at Houston.
Houston by 3.5.
Sure, I'll take Houston. They're at home. I'll take Fred's reasoning.
I'm going to go with Houston as well. Jacksonville's a schizophrenic team, and this is one of their bad weeks. So they don't like the road.
I like Houston in this game. It looks to me like Jacksonville's quit, and they haven't even been schizophrenic this year, Eric. They've just been playing bad. So I'll take Houston. They're still playing for something, not playoffs or anything, but they're playing to build towards something better. I'll take the Texans.
I got to go with Jacksonville in this game. All right. That
Why
leaves us.
Who's making you?
That leaves us with one game.
4 minutes to talk about it.
4:15. It's a Sunday game. Pittsburgh at New England.
Patriots by one.
Rottenberger comes to town.
Worthless hot dog gets exposed
this
weekend.
Worthless hot dog.
As I said earlier, I think this comes down to a single matchup. Nick Kazier versus Lamar Woodley. The rush from the right side. Matt Light will get it done against the fraud James Harrison on the left. And if Nick Kazier can get it done, and I think he will often enough, Patriots will put enough points on the board to prove to the world that they are still a playoff contender. I think this is a good physical win for them at home. I think it's going to be a dogfight to the end, but Matt Castle makes a couple plays because he has the time, and they win.
This is going to be a great game. It's a playoff game for all intents and purposes, and I think the way New England's offense can score points, I think they'll out-duel the Steelers offensively, and I think that's what will get it done.
Playoffs?
Going with the upset, Freddie.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. Big upset.
Okay.
It's a big Fred Kirsch-like upset. They're getting one. I think they shock the world.
They shock the world?
I like the Steelers. I like the Steelers' defense here to slow down that Patriots offense enough, and I don't have the faith that the Patriots offense can do the same. I mean, the Patriots defense, the same. I don't think that they'll overwhelm that offensive line and overwhelm Castle, but I'm not sure that he makes enough of those big third down throws that you're going to need to do against Pittsburgh to put enough points to overcome the defense's struggles right now. Because I just don't have a lot of faith in that defense.
Yeah.
A tight game. I think it's going to go to the wire, like Andy said, but I think Pittsburgh's going to find a way to win it.
A note on the corners.
24-20.
The injuries. Eric's favorite corner, or one of his two favorite corners in the league, could play if the injuries hold true. And Fernando Bryant could see significant run against Randy Moss, and we all know how that turned out in training camp.
Yeah.
Well, I just think that a lot of this game comes down to how Josh McDaniels calls it, because I don't think the Patriots can just do what they've been doing. They have to keep the Pittsburgh defense guessing and on their heels. A lot of hurry-up offense to try to keep them from subbing in. You know, just try to keep them, you know, by the third quarter a little bit out of breath. And so you're going to see a lot of quick passes, a lot of what they do already, but, you know, just really quick plays, you know. And what
about the running game?
If Lamont Jordan's
back and Sammy Morris is back, we've been surprised before at different times.
Yeah.
We think this is going to come down to X, Y, and Z. What if they come out and try and run the ball?
I think you can run the ball out of those sets, draws, you know, that type of running.
They ran a lot of draws against Miami in that.
Yeah, I think you got to get Pittsburgh running upfield and kind of, you know, keep them chugging up the field and kind of move by them, you know, screens, draws. You just got to keep moving because I don't think you can just line up in a pro set and beat the Pittsburgh defense.
Get Castle on some rollouts.
Yeah, whatever
out of
it
the
takes.
Pocket. He throws very well on the run.
It's going to be a very interesting game.
We were talking about it at the game the other day. Yeah. He's very accurate running around.
Yeah,
he's probably more accurate on the run than he is standing still in the pocket.
All right, so I'll surprise everybody, and I'm going to pick the Patriots.
Oh, I already wrote down your pick. I got to go back and
damn it, cross it out, Paul.
All right, so that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. No show tomorrow. Patriots Friday on Friday, obviously.
Which all means
right. We will see you next Tuesday.